There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. And I give you the phone number every time as we start off, but super important today because your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour. So the phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call or the very popular text line, 343-0106. You can also leave us a talk back message when you go to the FM Talk 106.5 app. Among all the cool stuff going on the app, you'll see there on the front page, there's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message and then another button and it sends it here to the station. I can play it back here on the air. So I use that this hour for your chance to ask the sheriff. Coming up in hour number two, April Marie Fogle joins me and a whole lot more. So let's get started by saying this. Hey, welcome back. It's Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch.
Always great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you in as well, and a lot to talk about here. And we'll just kind of go with torn from today's headlines. I mean, schools are back in.
Yeah.
As we can tell, traffic-wise. Our Kane in our traffic department spends his summer, I think, like the Maytag repairman, just kind of sitting around. But school gets back in, and it's real busy out there.
Yes, and that's why I would say from my house to work is a pretty much a straight shot down the interstate, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have it any other way.
For me, it's Airport Boulevard, and the factoring in Baker High School to my traffic is a thing I got to do. Mm-hmm. It's people busy in there. Speaking of school back in, something you and I have talked about many times, talked about it when you're running for office, is securing the schools and what could be done. We looked at what other school districts had done and even in our area, and you said, when I get in, we're going to make these changes, and they're happening.
They are, and it's going well. Before we jump into that, on the topic of school being back in, please be mindful of the buses. I mean, we've already had a couple really stupid people, go around buses and, create a problem.
Yeah, so, I mean, the rule everybody knows, right? Tell me about it. Like, what's the, if somebody does that, you catch them?
I mean, it's a serious ticket, obviously, but you could also be charged with reckless driving, depending on the manner in which you do it. And, for somebody who is so inconsiderate to go around a stopped school bus with the arm out, we're going to make you look stupid on the news. Mm-hmm. And because, I mean, you're endangering the life of children. And so it just no excuse.
Rule is, buses there, signs out, everybody stops.
Yep. Yeah. Well, both sides of the road.
Yeah. But so what about people going the other way?
Yeah. It's both sides of the road.
That's the one that gets me is you'll see people.
It is inconvenient.
Yeah.
And, and my daughter asked me today on the way to school because we had to stop for one.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, the bus is on the other side of the road. Why do we have to stop? I said, that's the law.
So, yeah. It's both ways.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, I've seen. I don't know. Maybe I've seen somebody who's on the same side as the bus is going go around. Maybe. I don't know. But I sure as heck have seen, the other side traffic.
Yep.
The other, versus westbound, eastbound, or north or south going.
Well, the ones I'm talking about who physically go around traveling in the same direction, a mm-hmm. bus who have deployed their stop mm-hmm. sign and flashers, and they try to hurry and get around the bus. I mean, you don't know what type of children are on there, whether it's small mm-hmm. children, mm-hmm. Teenagers. Small child could dart out in front of that bus.
Any second. Yeah, so be aware, though, it's for both traffic going both ways. Yeah, well said. Speaking of the schools, once they get there, where are we now with deputies that are working with our school system in Mobile County Public Schools? How many deputies are out
there?
Well,
we have 12 that are, 13 fully assigned to the school system. and their primary assignment are the high schools, and they, you know, but then they rotate through the day.
And didn't you say they're like oriented with what the feeder pattern is maybe correct. For that school?
Yep. Okay. But what's different this year is, you know, they put metal detectors in the high schools and middle schools.
Which, I've been saying that for a decade, and I'm just some civilian. I mean,
it's expensive. And sure. So,
but if we got it down at City Hall, and protect y'all at City Hall, then how about our kids?
I agree. And like I said, it's a great step in the right direction. And also, you know, what the school board has done, you know, with the implementation of those metal detectors, we also, and I say we, it's contracted through the sheriff's office. There's a law enforcement officer and or deputy at every middle school during intake as they're going through the metal detectors.
Okay.
And that's by contract, basically a part-time job that the school system pays for, because I wouldn't have enough deputies to...
Right, to be there.
To be there, yeah.
So these people are trained on how to run the things? Or
yeah, well, the law enforcement's there to observe in case someone tries to turn away or if there's some type of, you know, reaction or
fracas,
you know, situation, yes.
Yeah, whatever that word.
So yeah, they're not, you know, running the machines, but they're there in case there's a problem. And again, I applaud the school system for implementing that and funding to have, you know, law enforcement there at those sites.
Yeah, you may not know this, but definitely in the world having a chance to know it better than I. How those things, are those things like a, seems like a foreign-built car that runs all the time? Are they like a cantankerous 1960s Mercury outboard? I mean, what are those things like? Magnetometers, are they?
Yeah.
They're different brands or like some
brands,
better that are...
And, you know, I can't speak for the school system, but being, you know, a governmental-type agency, mm-hmm. I'm sure they are subject to the bid laws just like we are. So it's, you know, unfortunate. A lot of times you get what you're made to get through bid. And, you know, it's like our medical services. We have to bid that for the jail. Do we really want the lowest bidder providing medical services? But,
you know. Okay, so I always wonder when I look through them that, you know, you get called the tech out to, you know, turn wrenches on these things or not.
Well,
I don't know what goes into how they run.
Yeah, you can adjust the sensitivity on them. And you know, I know there were a couple of little glitches at some of the schools, I think, that they were too sensitive.
I didn't know any of this. This was just me kind of being curious.
And then I read yesterday where there was some kind of altercation where one of the students used a taser. So not sure how that got through, although there's not a lot of metal in a taser, but, you know, it's still probably should have picked up something.
Yeah, so you've got to, I mean, I'm sure you dial those things in, right? Yeah. So from sensitive for a filling.
Yeah.
To,
well,
not,
just for instance, you know, we have one at intake at the jail, very similar to what you see at an airport. And, you know, people like to hide things like small pills or small amounts of dope in some very strange places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that thing picks it up. Unlike, I mean, you can't get it in. And so
it's
a body scanner.
Okay, that's like the airport.
Yeah.
The one where I always like to wink at the person running it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to come back to this, but these questions coming in. Earl had asked on the text line, is this applied to a divided highway? Yeah, another texter says, if the roadway is four lanes, two each direction with a center lane opposite traffic, do they stop for a school bus?
My understanding of the law, yes. That, you know, all directions. Now, you know, a major thoroughfare, you know, just for example, this morning, you know, there was one stopped on Hillcrest Road. Why they would stop on a major road like that is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
But all lanes stop both ways, and that's my understanding of the law.
Okay. Yeah, because people were asking, I guess I didn't even think about the divided highway portion and what it entails there. I'll tell you what, we've got a bunch coming in on this. Let's go to the news, come right back. More with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your chance to ask the sheriff right now at 343-0106. Text line or a phone call. Be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:20, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday, and your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest. And y'all have asked a lot of questions here about, but it was a good subject, because with school back in, school buses stopped, and we know that, except for, I think everybody knows that if you're traveling that direction, the same place the school bus is letting off, you stop your butt.
Yep.
Right. And then the question came, all right, let's say the school bus is traveling northbound, we're traveling northbound, school bus stops, all northbound traffic stops. Does the southbound traffic stop?
Yes and no. I've heard me say before, I'm not a traffic type person,
right,
but
right.
I had to call a friend
You're
of mine
a detective
on the break.
By trade. So you do your research.
Yep. So I called a friend of mine with MPD, and that's what he specializes in, and what the law says is, if there's not any type of median or clear division, then yes, all directions stop. But if there's like a turn lane or a median,
right,
then the opposite direction does not have to stop, but proceed with caution.
Okay. All right. So proceed with caution. So you don't have to stop, but put your head on a swivel.
That's
you
right.
You do that. Let's see. Get through all these about the divided roadways. Jason asked the sheriff's opinion of crime in Kushla. Is it up or down?
Actually, that Kushla area kind of ebbs and flows. It's down right now. And, most of what they see in that area, are some minor drug crimes and then theft. And the theft is usually being committed by some of your people on drugs. And, we put a couple of them away least recently that have slowed things down in that general area. So overall, I'd say it's down in the Kushla area.
Okay. David says, what is the law regarding law enforcement officers responding to a call in a vehicle? Is there a difference in the law between emergency response and just a regular call? For example, robbery in progress versus a property damage call?
Well, I mean, that's kind of it depends on whether the property damage is in progress. Whether somebody's actively, destroying someone's property. But if you're talking just a report type situation, then there's certainly no urgency to that. Robbery in progress, you're going to get there as fast as you can. And, sometimes that requires lights and sirens. Sometimes, as you get closer to the area, you don't want to use lights and sirens because you don't want to alert, the suspect that you're close by. So, there's a lot of misperception about that. It's a judgment call, but if you're busting through an intersection or something like that, you should still, stop and proceed with caution, not just fly through it. But, use your license sirens, to get through a big intersection.
All right. This one, good afternoon, Sheriff. I live in the city, and I'm having a huge private party on Dog River in October with a band. What is the noise ordinance, and do I need some type of permit? Don't worry, you'll be invited.
Ask me that question again.
Said this person texted, I live in the said, good afternoon, Sheriff. I live in the city. I'm having a huge private party on Dog River in October with a band. What is the noise ordinance, and do I need some type of permit? Don't worry, you'll be invited.
If it's in the city limits, then you would have to have a permit. And I think the noise ordinance kicks in after 10 o'clock.
Wasn't there some talk at city council about moving it earlier or something like that? I forget where that went, but
again, I live in the county and work in the county primarily, but I would certainly inquire about a permit and what's most important in these situations, and this is where we see it become problematic occasionally, talk to your neighbors first, make sure they're aware, and make sure they don't have a problem with it, because that way nobody calls and there's no issue.
And invite your neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep them happy. That's always the pro tip there. This from unnamed texter said, why isn't driving in the left lane more enforced? We've talked about this several times on the show.
Yeah, I would say staffing is a lot of it, because trust me, I get frustrated about it too. And, but right now, law enforcement as a whole are focusing primarily on response, to calls and such, and not able to be out there just proactively, enforcing traffic. And it is very frustrating getting behind someone who just decides to you know, go exactly the speed limit or a little under in the left-hand lane. And I think that's how a lot more wrecks occur, because people are trying to get around them.
Oh, big time. I mean, there are the people that are stunt driving, weaving through the, you know, and then there are people that are just trying to get down the road. Yeah, and that person, you know, sitting there. And I've tried this technique over the years to stare at them as I go by, but it doesn't seem to have any effect. I thought it was.
You know, I have over time come to a conclusion on some of that. And it's pretty accurate if you pay attention in the future. Small trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or people with their arm hanging out of the window,
mm-hmm.
are those kind of drivers.
And
there's a certain brand of vehicles that
I look by and I say, are they catatonic too? They're just like hanging on the steering wheel and staring. Joe asks, can you drive in the middle turn lane to speed up and merge into traffic? Oh, okay. It took me a second. Now I know what you're talking about, Joe. Yeah, okay.
You're talking about passing someone?
Can you drive in the middle turn lane to speed up and merge into traffic? So, like, if you were, you know, maybe you had to turn out from somewhere.
Right. you had to turn out.
And I'm guessing, Joe, this is what you're asking.
Yeah, if you had to turn out from somewhere.
Right, and then can you hop on it?
Yes, but if you can't pass in the turn lane and then, you know, jump ahead of someone. Because at that point, you're passing, I'm sure, what's either going to be a double yellow or solid yellow line with dots, but if you're coming out of a parking lot and then trying to jump into traffic, yes.
Okay. It took me a second to read, but I know what Joe's talking about there. Yeah. Okay. Bill said, I hear the deputies we just talked about at schools are there as a side job, not as an official on duty deputies. Not official on duty deputies. Also, the public school is paying for this, not the sheriff's office. FedEx drivers can't take their delivery trucks home and make deliveries on the weekends as a side job. Why can sheriff's deputies use taxpayer vehicles, taxpayer gas, and taxpayer equipment to essentially be private contractors for security? That's Bill.
Well, you know, that's not just for the schools. The law clearly states that they can use those. And you know, there are some agencies around the country that, you know, get reimbursed mileage, you know, or maintenance use for vehicle. That becomes real complicated. We looked at that years ago, and that's partially accurate. The 12 deputies that are at the high schools, those are full-time law enforcement assigned to, you know, deputy sheriffs assigned to the schools.
Right. So, they're not, and that's why I wanted you to answer that, because he's not, those deputies that are assigned, the 12 or 13 you talked about, they're not doing a side job. They're doing a job for the sheriff's department.
Yes.
And that job is to be there at those schools, something assignment. We asked for.
Yeah, that is their full-time assignment as sheriff's deputies. Now, it is funded by the school board. They reimburse the county commission. But
in that capacity that they're there, they are there as an on-duty deputy. This is not after hours.
Correct.
Okay.
And he or she's referring to is the middle school. That is a side job that is paid for by, you know, the school system, and they're there for 4 hours, you know, while school lets in.
Okay.
And
so that's different. Those are
it is
different things.
That's again, that those are, it's not just sheriff's office. There are multi agencies that participate in that, because I don't have enough deputies to fill those positions.
Earl says, this is the left lane of Airport Boulevard the same as the left lane of the interstate? I don't think remember the law was just to interstates, right?
It is. And, you know, going back to airport, I never understand the middle lane. Sometimes it's like seems to be the slowest. And that's
whatever lane no I get turning. In is the slowest. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't ever follow me. Okay. And this person's asking, but isn't the speed limit in the left lane the same as all other lanes? Talking about the interstate. Yeah. But you can legally go 45 on the 46 on the interstate.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And create all kind of problems, but yes, I mean, the speed limit's the same, but reality is reality. You know, most people aren't going to go exactly the speed limit in left-hand lane.
Okay. Let's see. This person says they're in the left lane and on their cell phones.
Yeah, that's the majority of society, I'm sure.
And because we are at the legislation that passed statewide, hands-free.
Yep.
And free on your devices.
Yep.
And is that a primary or secondary? I mean, I forget what they passed on that.
I don't know.
If that's a primary, for some reason, I think they changed it as a primary. All right. Let's see. Yeah, they were asked about, like, if you're pulling out, back to the question about the middle turn lane, if you're pulling out of a neighborhood and trying to get the speed, I guess, to merge in with traffic.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, that's not against the law. You're trying to merge into traffic. Now, you can't run a half a mile down the turn lane, but, you know, within reason, I don't see why you can't. You know, just an example, I guess, what they're asking, if you coming out of a neighborhood trying to, you know, take a left and you see there's a lot of traffic coming, mm-hmm. but you can jump in and get ahead of that, then I think that's reasonable.
There we go. Coming right back, your chance to ask more questions of Sheriff Paul Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. It's your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest, and questions piled in here. This comment here from the Mariner said, that he believes the appearance of police vehicles and public working side jobs or at their residences on time off benefits the community with police presence.
It does, and that's, you know, aside from a proven savings in vehicle maintenance, you know, that's the purpose of a take-home vehicle, is to give, you know, a big presence in the community. You know, there are studies done many years ago when I first, you know, got on police department. The vehicles stayed running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so...
Did it really?
Yeah. I mean, you just...
You get into a hot seat, you get out of some...
Yeah, you didn't. You're at the mercy of, you know, how tidy or how sloppy a person before you were or was. But, you know, those vehicles stayed running, and there was not a take-home vehicle program. And this is a study locally and around the country that the savings in vehicle maintenance and having to purchase new vehicles, you know, so often, you know, is a big, you know, cost. It's cost effective.
Speaking of new vehicles too, not to bring up something to give you grief at how hard it's been to get new vehicles, but I've seen several of the pickups out there, and you said this, I think it was last time you were here, you went with those pickups because you couldn't get
Tahoes.
You couldn't get them.
Nope. You know, and my philosophy to try to get all Tahoes was, again, cost savings. It's safer, you know, for the deputies. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger vehicle. And it would allow the county garage to stock one type part, you know, or parts for one type vehicle. And, you know, so they were excited about that too. But it didn't quite work out that way. We will be on track with that again soon. I did have to get some Ford F-150s, and most of those are on the road now. We've had some supply issues with the pit bumpers for the Chevrolets, so those are on hold until we can get those in, because I don't want to issue them out without the right equipment.
It's good to hear you talk about this, though, because you've always been pretty frank with us about people just kind of, I don't know, maybe me, just assumes everything. Yeah, you just order the police vehicle and it's got everything, and then you go, well, I can't get this thing or this part. I'm like, gosh, I didn't realize that also hit law enforcement like it does other people in the marketplace.
It does. Now there are options out there to order them fully equipped, but they're double the price.
Gotcha.
So
I see how that works.
Yep.
This texture says, Sheriff, I live just outside the city limits and have a neighbor who built his dog pen using my privacy fence as one side of the pen. He also built it right outside my bedroom window. There are three dogs in the small pen. It stinks and it's noisy. I've spoken to him about moving his dog pen, but he won't do it. Is there anything that I can do to remedy this annoying issue?
Maybe remove that section of the fence, but I'm kidding. That's certainly a civil matter. As far as the dog pen being attached, you know, if the, and this is just, you know, me looking at it from a common sense standpoint, if the fence is on the property line, and so, you know, theoretically that side of the fence is on that neighbor's, you know, property.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what prevent him from attaching, but it sounds like the guy's just being a jerk and, you know, and not neighborly.
There's a not. I don't think there's a specific ordinance for being a jerk.
There's no. I wish there was.
Daniel suggested the people driving slow in the left lane, Louisiana, Texas, and Florida tags. Y'all, I've got a thing. I've talked about it with the tunnel. It's, and I'm starting trouble, I know, but Northeast Mississippi, the Itawamba, all those counties, they also, now, George, Jackson, the counties down here, these people know exactly what they're doing, Mississippi folks. But you, Wayne, yep. But you get up there in that Corinth and up towards Tupelo, I don't know, there's something, they hit the tunnel and they panic.
Yeah. And I will say Florida is the absolute worst. They feel like they get married to that left lane and will not get out of it. And if they finally do, the minute you go by, they get right back over.
Yep. True. I don't get it. IT Jesus said, just coming in the conversation, but can you flip the bird at an 18-wheelers that drive in the left lane on the bridge, asking for a friend?
Probably.
Jason says, has working with Pritchard become any easier, and is the sheriff seeing results he wants there?
We're getting there. We are being an open book. You know, I have a lot of concerns about their homicide cases.
What are those concerns?
Integrity. And so,
integrity being?
I'm sure everyone saw that, they had a case dismissed last week because a detective didn't show up. And having inside knowledge of that, there's absolutely no reason that he didn't show up. I have tried to encourage the judge to hold him in contempt, put him in jail. And because now you've got a real bad, this guy's involved in several murders or suspect in several or charged with one. And now he's back on the street, because lack of integrity on this particular detective.
That's beyond, to me, that's a maximum offense on law enforcement side to not show something.
Yeah. And it's one of those situations.
It's not a traffic ticket.
There have been multiple resets, and
that's unacceptable.
He used the excuse that he was on a homicide scene when, in fact, he was not. He was on a death scene that turned out to be a suicide, but there were other detectives there that could have handled that. There's absolutely no reason he couldn't have gone to court and should be held accountable for it.
Wow. That kind of integrity following through, is it anything for evidence collection or anything like that?
Yes, and yes.
Okay, all the things I would ask. Okay.
It's lack of training, for some of their personnel who work homicides. And they just don't have the manpower and resources. And so,
How are they going to get that if the sheriff's department, is constantly, having to get out there and recruiting and getting people, and y'all are the place a lot of people want to come to.
Well, I've been in talks with the mayor, the Pritchard mayor, and we've got what we think will be a good plan in place to, at first we're going to have to play more of a lead role, but what we would like to do is identify a couple of their guys who can meet certain standards. And more or less take them under our wing. I told them I would even send a couple of them, to basic homicide school to become more educated in what they do, and then, do like an shadow us for a year or so, where they feel comfortable doing their own. And again, because we don't do this to try to embarrass them or try to big boy them, but I as the sheriff owe a service to those citizens.
Citizens of Pritchard are still your responsibility as a sheriff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I've said many times is what happens in Pritchard don't stay in Pritchard. There are no boundaries.
But for everybody to understand, we've said it many times on the show, but if you're looking at this map, underneath all the municipalities and municipal law enforcement, you're still, the sheriff's department is responsible for everything underneath that municipality as well.
Yes.
Scott asking, I went to Walmart on Sunday morning. This is an oldie but a goodie coming back here, Sheriff. Said, went to Walmart Sunday morning, saw an elderly man open carrying a handgun in his waistband. Is this legal or are you required to conceal the pistol?
No, open carry has been around longer than,
any kind of
carry.
Yeah, and to go through the nuance of that, if somebody, because we've had these questions in the past, if somebody's open carrying, you can't do anything about it other than if it's private property, it's a trespass, if the people want them removed.
Yes.
Right.
If a store owner, posts.
But it's not about
firearms,
the gun.
No. It's, but again, it's the law. So I think it's probably a bad decision to open carry because you're kind of making yourself a target.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea or premise behind having a weapon is for self-protection. And, if you're advertising you have it, you don't have that element of surprise.
A tactical disadvantage.
Yeah.
I've got my own beef with people that half conceal carry.
Yeah.
Like either do it or don't.
That's
like
right.
They're like, I want you to know I have it, but I'm gonna. All right. Let's see. Irish Indian said, when sitting at a red light and the car in front of you is looking down at their phone as the light turns green, is it legal to put the bumper to them?
No, but a good horn blow jolts them pretty good, especially if that horn happens to be a siren or something along those lines.
Davis said, yeah, siren will get them. Said Daphne PD has a policy that even if the officer is off duty in a take-home vehicle, they still have to stop and help a motorist in distress, even if off duty. Does the sheriff department have the same policy?
We do. And somebody made that mistake a couple of years ago of not doing that, and they won't do that again.
Okay.
I mean, that's, and that's especially for marked vehicles. You're in an unmarked vehicle, nobody's probably going to report you, but it's absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, I stop and help people on the interstate frequently. I would say weekly. I encounter somebody, who's broken down or flat tire. I keep a box in the back of my truck that has a floor jack, a four-way, mm-hmm. and extra straps should somebody have problems with a load.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's just the right thing to do.
A couple texts. So one here, it says, if I cause four accidents in a 12-month period, the state of Alabama automatically suspends my driver's license with 12 points. Does that apply to law enforcement officers, a law enforcement vehicle as well? What if the sheriff had a deputy that was involved in four traffic accidents in less than a year?
Well, I can say this, based on experience, from years ago, and I'm sure nothing has changed. There was a deputy who's now deceased, but he retired from the sheriff's office, and probably his last 7 or 8 years he couldn't drive a county vehicle because the county would not insure him to drive. And so, but I know what they're talking about. I don't know what the city's policies are, but the county dropped him from being able to operate a county vehicle.
All right, coming right back, more of your questions for the sheriff. Sheriff Paul Bartsch, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, and your chance to ask the sheriff. Y'all have done a great job today because he ain't got anything on my list. That's fine. It's about y'all. Jim B. saying the sheriff's a great guest, a common sense guy. I'm going to say that. Speaking of which, a nod of the hat. Folks here got to hear me play clips from you about 2-3 weeks ago, maybe longer, but it was a discussion of a bill pre-filed floated in Montgomery. Nothing that would pass, but about what having to have a special license to have a semi-automatic rifle or something like that. They called it assault rifle.
Yes, they were a permit to possess an assault rifle, and or assault weapon. I think is the way they termed it, and. Number one, that's a play on words, and basically you're attacking the aesthetics of a gun.
That's what I loved you did on camera. You pulled out this thing I've talked about on the radio, but you did. You said, I think you pulled out like a Mini 14.
Yep, with a regular stock,
mm-hmm.
and it's.
And people are like, well, that gun's okay, but that one that's over there that has
that one looks mean.
Yeah, it's like they both operate the same way, actually shoot the same round.
And again, it's I say this all the time, I'm as big of a pro Second Amendment person, that you can meet, and it's a gun grab, and it's something that it'll never pass, and I'll certainly, as a constitutional officer, would do everything in my power to make sure it don't pass, through a legislature,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
Well, we're on the subject. Somebody's asking this unnamed texter, how many people in the county are leaving their guns in unlocked cars, stolen, and on the street? I don't know if you have that number.
I don't have a number, but I'm almost scared to say it has really slowed down. So
this knock, kind of, yeah, this kind is of wood. Lightwood. But, yeah, this is particle board in air. You can
yeah, and I think that has slowed down in the city and the county. And so hopefully our message has gotten through. And again, I've said, I think everybody who can carry a gun should carry a gun, but carry it responsibly and don't leave it in your car.
Very good. This one from Don said, question for the sheriff, if you have time, Celeste Road is becoming another Highway 45. I've seen that too. Are there plans for more presence from the sheriff's department to monitor people passing law-abiding 40-mile-per-hour citizens on their way to work? Almost witnessed a head-on collision this morning when somebody tried to pass me in the turn lane south of Radcliffe Road.
Yeah, certainly, you know, go to our website and submit those type of complaints as a crime tip. We look into every single one of them. And, you know, we will certainly address that, you know, as we're able. You know, we don't have a traffic division
right.
like the city does. And so, you know, that those type of activities are taken care of through the personnel who patrol that area. And they'll usually partner with, you know, the adjacent beat and can address those problems.
It's you just watch it. And, I've spent a lot of time on 45 and Celeste Road. And it is, as 45 is, you know, and that's a legislative thing and we can get into and funding from ALDOT. And, you know, I've for 10 years been harping on how bad 45 is. But, yep. Yeah, when it gets bad and it gets slowed down, then people then would choose instead of taking 45, they take Celeste. Now you put traffic over on Celeste that's, I would say, even worse as a road to take that amount of traffic than 45.
Yeah, it's like any, you know, you can apply that same I guess, situation in the city. Once people know that this is going to be a problem on a certain road, mm-hmm. they find an alternate route to go, and then that, you know, becomes a congestion problem. And, you know, kind of like playing whack-a-mole with streets.
It's interesting to see, just closing the section of McGregor from Dauphin to Airport, what that's done to traffic flow patterns in the city. How much traffic had to move somewhere else.
It made me extremely late to my doctor's appointment this morning. Because I could have easily cut over and hit Dauphin. Mm-hmm. Instead, I had to go all the way around and encounter more traffic. So that really, it has disrupted, you know, a lot of traffic. And hopefully that will be done, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, y'all listen to the city department there. Jessica said, do you have an update on Renee Bergeron, a.k.a. Maria Martinez? Was it solved? And do you take volunteers to help with cold cases?
We do. We have a cold case advocate group that we work with. And I've got a retired homicide detective from the Philadelphia area that has taken a special interest in that case, and it's still actively being worked. So no, it is not solved, but it's one that we're not giving up on.
Yeah, you really have the people you've brought in, you know, and I've talked to your associates from out of this area that've come in and been on the show with me, taking a special interest in these cases, ones that people maybe in the past when. Now the technology's better, you revisit them, that they thought, nah, nothing could happen here, and you've made some differences.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts to have a new set of eyes on a case mm-hmm. and get different perspectives, you know, because agencies are the way law enforcement works in the Mideast is a lot different than the way it works here. So, you know, they see different types of crimes there. And so, I think we're working in the right direction on that case. I think, you know, I can say we have someone that we're really, really interested in, and so we're not giving up.
Okay. And Don, coming back to the question about Celeste Road, he said, if I can get their tag number, would it make a difference in our report to the website?
Yeah, it certainly would, you know, give us an idea of a vehicle to be looking for, especially if they frequently, you know, drive that road. So, you know, we can't, you know, write a ticket or anything based on someone providing a tag number, but it certainly will give us either something to look for when we get out there and do the enforcement, or, you know, send a deputy by that person's, you know, house and have a chat with them.
Okay. So. Finally getting to one of my questions here. So, y'all got a Mardi Gras parade coming up at the end of this month?
We do.
Sheriff, Mardi Gras, I guess it's good, the branding of the city, but I'm like, Mardi Gras, you should just be for Mardi Gras season.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Christmas in July.
I know. Okay, so y'all are doing this Mardi Gras parade coming up when?
Yes, it's at the end of the month.
Okay.
And it's for NIJO, which is, you know, National Institute of Jail Operations. And there will be corrections staff, you know, mainly administrators from all around the country.
Okay.
It's, you know, this particular would have probably a little over 400 attendees.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, you know, and of course, a lot of them bring their families. And, you know, it was in Gulf Shores for the last couple of years, and they've outgrown that venue. And so we were able to convince them, our warden, Sam Houston, did a phenomenal job convincing them to bring it here because there were a lot of other cities competing. And so we wanted to give those people a taste of Mardi Gras. Some of them never heard of Mardi Gras. And so
what rock,
I mean, they're
they
all around the country.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give them a little taste of what Mobile Mardi Gras is about.
Okay. All right. So, you know, this is, you're on the side of most people. I think I talked about it last week. It's things we get used to. You know, when people come visit me from elsewhere, and just like being on Dolphin Island, people are like, this is amazing. I'm like, well, this is what I grew up with, you know, or Mardi Gras. I don't think about it till, yeah, it's Mardi Gras time. Okay, we're going to do Mardi Gras. But for some people that they had no idea, this is a big thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got, you know, hopefully it's not wrong to give a plug, but, you know, Pops, mm-hmm. you know, were real generous with contributing to the throws. And we've got several local businesses who participated, and you know, it's going to be a good event. It's a fun event.
I'll bring my bag and get down there and get in the mix.
There you go.
Sheriff, people want to go online, find out more, anything from concealed carry permits to who's in jail, all that stuff, where do they go?
Go to mobileso.com, and again, submit those crime tips, whether it be traffic-related, somebody with a warrant, you know, whatever. We address every single one of them.
Good stuff. Thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.